A proud sponsor of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is AARP Iowa. With over 370,000 members, AARP is helping families with a host of programs, from Fraud Watch to helping build more livable communities. Learn more at aarp.org.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour, from wherever on the planet you happen to reside. Grateful that you've tuned in yet again today. Our guest is Lori Vincent. Lori is the president and CEO of a company called Acceleration by Design, based in Austin, Texas. And she is putting on, along with a whole bunch of other people, a second in a series called Stand Up Rural America this year at the end of February in Charleston, West Virginia. Lori, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you've made time to be with us today.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, let's chat a little bit about what it is that you do. What is Acceleration by Design? Let's cover that first, and then we'll get into Stand Up Rural America.
Okay. Well, Acceleration by Design is my it's a consulting firm that is basically an overarching vehicle for me to do my consulting work and also my speaking business. And I'm an author of some books, and so that Acceleration by Design is the vehicle that all of those things are worked through, as well as a couple of special events that I put on every year, with my favorite being the Stand Up Rural America Summit.
And you're based out of Austin, Texas, which is by no means necessarily rural.
This is true. But we also own a home in Stratford, Texas, population 2,500.
There you go.
And I am from Dalhart, Texas, which is also in the Texas Panhandle. And so I was raised in a rural community. We raised our daughter in a rural community, and we still actually just go back and forth. Our home is completely intact. I did come to Austin to work several years ago, and I have clients all over the country. And so logistically, it did make it easy for me to work out of Austin, but our heart is with rural America. And we will continue to make our home in rural America for sure. We're just empty nesters, so we're taking advantage of the best of both worlds right
totally
now.
Totally understand all of that. But because you're in Austin, just a side question. Have you made it to South by Southwest in the past?
Oh, yes. I have been working here in Austin throughout my 30-year economic development career. And obviously because it's our state capital. And so I have been very fortunate over the last several years to be able to make it both to South by Southwest and to the Austin City Limits Music Festival. The last few years since we have actually lived here, I've become the Uber driver for several of my clients and associates during those two events. It's an awesome time to come to Austin during those two events.
It is. And you have just, by the way, gone ahead and destroyed the myth that there are no Texans actually residing in Austin. So congratulations.
Oh, there's still a few Texans left. You're right. That could probably be debated on any given day.
Absolutely. Our guest is Lori Vincent. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about Stand Up Rural America. It's going to be happening in Charleston, West Virginia, April 27 through 29. All right, let's talk a little bit about what does rural America want, Lori?
Well, rural America, I believe, is based in a foundation of history and heritage. A lot of people have lived in their communities their entire life and built businesses there, raised families there. Their whole life is wrapped up in their community and their neighbors. And over the last several years, we have seen and experienced, and we've all watched the trend where our kids would graduate from high school and immediately leave. And unless that community continued to create jobs, they had nothing to come back to. And so we saw population decline, but we also saw and recognized that so many communities still, they want their community to grow. They want to maintain and preserve their heritage. They want to honor their history, but they want to grow for the future. And the last decade, we have seen communities all over the United States become a lot more aggressive and pursuing strategies that would help them grow. And that's kind of what the summit is all about, bringing those people together, the change makers and the trailblazers who have said, I'm not going to sit here and watch my community to die. I'm going to do something about it. And most of all, we want to tell and remind everybody to quit waiting for the white knight to come in and save you. You have the ability to save yourself. And so many communities, I feel like, in my experience, I've been doing this for 30 years and have had over 250 rural clients that happens a lot of times. I think, oh, if somebody else would just come in and bring us this company or create 100 jobs or build these houses, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And we just want to tell everybody, quit waiting.
Yeah.
Quit waiting for the hero to come in. Be your own hero. You have the ability and the resources to do it. So that's our goal, is to just bring those resources and those strategies and those creative ideas and innovative strategies to rural America.
And learn from each other at the same time, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've told everybody, don't reinvent the wheel. Find what works for somebody else in a community of similar size and emulate it. Tweak it to make it your own. We're all about not reinventing the wheel. There's just no need for anybody to start from scratch. And that's what we want to help everybody. Let's talk about what doesn't work and let's talk about what does work. And then let's get together and use that creativity to create new strategies and let's try new things. But most of all, we want everybody to take action.
Our guest is Lori Vincent, ladies and gentlemen. She is behind what is now the second of Stand Up Rural America, happening in Charleston, West Virginia, at the end of April. Well, there's some headwinds, and you know this very well. There's some headwinds out there regarding rural America. One would be the average age of people who are living in rural America. Two would be the lack of broadband internet access, which is extremely important for leveling the economic development playing field. And I know, and we don't do politics on the Business News Hour, but I do know that the infrastructure plan proposed by the president includes billions of dollars to level that playing field with broadband throughout the United States. How critical are those two issues? A, the age level of individuals in rural America, and B, lack of broadband?
Well, those two things, obviously, you've nailed the two things that are so important. Those have been critical factors that we've been working on literally for years. Yeah. What has happened this past year during the pandemic is, if anything good came out of this horrible, horrible past year of this period of uncertainty and heartache, is that now the policymakers and the people that have the ability to help us to bring technology to the forefront in our rural communities have realized that what we've been saying all along is absolutely true. Our most aggressive and successful rural communities were the ones that years ago recognized that they could do rural telemedicine with neighboring hospitals in the, you know, maybe their next closest mid-size or urban area. The ones that had figured out that we can use technology to help teach the students who may not be able to go to school every day. You know, all of those things, and not to mention the mobile workforce now that, you know, we've recognized that people can actually be very productive working from home or working not necessarily in a home office or headquarters. So that's good that now, I mean, I see it in our state of Texas. Broadband has become a number one issue during our legislative process. The session's going on right now. I have a sister who's a sister-in-law, a senator in Oklahoma, and she said broadband is absolutely one of their number one critical factors as well. And so I've seen it throughout the country now that I'm hoping we will be able to make great strides, because that has been a barrier in the past several years when we were finding that younger people were interested in moving back to their hometowns. Many of them have a real entrepreneurial spirit. Many of them, especially young families, said, you know what, I had a great childhood and I'd love to raise my family back the way that I was raised. But that was a barrier, not being able to have reliable technology to allow them to work from there. I do believe we've made strides, but I think now it will be, the steps will be so much larger now. We do have the ability, and we're seeing it all over the country, where the younger generations are taking a second look now at rural America. If they already have a connection to a community, that's great. Parents, grandparents, friends, maybe they spent their childhood there or their summers there. They're taking a good look, but I have interviewed many, many people who were raised in the city their whole life, and they're just looking for something different. And so now we have the opportunity to give people a first look at rural community, you know, not a let's remind you of how awesome, you know, your memories are of rural America, but now we have the opportunity to introduce rural America to a whole new market of people who are now saying, you know, maybe that's a lifestyle that works for me, especially if I can work from there. So it's, although we have come through this really hard time, and even before the pandemic, we saw the trend going in our favor, but now we're very excited about the opportunities that lie ahead, but we want our communities to be ready. You can't just wait for those things to happen. These communities have got to be ready. They've got to be prepared for it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things to prepare for. One of the things that we have noticed, and we've had several news stories about how individuals are leaving, for example, Silicon Valley, and then moving into rural America. First of all, because the cost of living is so much less expensive. But at the same time, and we celebrate that, this is going to be a major cultural shift for rural America, as individuals from cities across the United States take a look at moving to various places in rural America. Would you agree?
Yes, I do. I think that with those opportunities are going to come challenges, and I would hope that, and I think it's all in how we welcome those people from the urban areas into our communities, to assimilate them into the community in ways where they feel a part of it, where they can begin to learn about the heritage and the history and why the community does, you know, the things the way that they do, but to also for those communities to perhaps welcome fresh ideas and a different perspective, because those people that are moving in, they can be huge assets to your community. And so we want to help foster that environment of let's welcome them in. I caution all the people moving from the cities, don't move there and try to turn it into the city that you just left. But to learn about the community and to appreciate the assets that it has to offer, but for those communities to welcome those individuals and those families and to welcome their perspective and their ideas. And because there's going to be entrepreneurs, there's going to be school board members, there's going to be new people at church, new kids on the baseball team. You know, I think we all are just going to have to work very hard at opening our minds to that possibility and that opportunity.
Absolutely. And that is the opportunity to change a bit is so paramount when we look at new people entering the landscape of rural America. Our guest is Lori Vincent, ladies and gentlemen, the organizer of Stand Up Rural America, which will be held April 27, 29, Charleston, West Virginia. I just need to tell you a story about a partnership, private-public partnership. Well, mostly, yeah, I guess that would be the way it is. There's a tiny town of less than 5,000 people, not very far from Des Moines, Iowa. It's called Jefferson, Iowa. And with the assistance of Congressman Ro Khanna of the Silicon Valley, he partnered with a whole host of Silicon Valley executives as well as two community colleges in that state, and then launched a beautiful facility in this tiny community, which, by the way, has fiber optic broadband throughout the city created by a private telecom that's been in business for years. And what's that? What that has done is it has taken young people from around the rural area, has enabled them to learn how to work in technology, and then they're working remotely out of Jefferson, Iowa, for these Silicon Valley and Fortune 500 companies at a salary that is a prince's wage in rural America, but perhaps $70,000 less than what it would be in San Francisco. So it's really an amazing story, and it's been so successful. Our guest is Lori Vincent, ladies and gentlemen. I want to visit just a bit about your event. You've got numerous speakers coming. One of our friends, Deb Brown, from Save Your Town, is going to be there, along with many others. How is it that you chose various people to come to Stand Up Rural America? What was the qualifying factor?
Well, I'm very fortunate that through my 30 years in the economic development industry, I've got a very strong network all over the country and all over the world. But I have been able over the years to build friendships and to work with and collaborate with a lot of subject matter experts throughout the country. And when I put together the first summit, I knew that I wanted to be able to bring an event to these trailblazers from around the country. Maybe they're not able to hire a consultant to come in, or maybe they just need a little push, some new resources, some new ideas to be the catalyst to make change in their communities. And so I began to assemble. I wanted to be a wow event, and it was. The first one was, and this one will be too. Everybody is main stage. There's no breakout sessions, and everybody, I've assembled people from all over the country to come in. We have 17 speakers for the summit. We had 17 for the first one. A couple of panels, a couple of keynotes, and several subject matter experts. And because I want everybody to hear them firsthand, to feel, and I think enthusiasm is contagious. And I think when everybody's in a room together and you're able to do questions and answers, it's the energy is so high. So we picked, I went through, and our topics are a little bit different this time than the first one, and that will continue to happen in the future. We want to pick the most relevant topics of the time. And a lot of that right now, obviously, is post-pandemic strategies, how to rebound, help our communities rebound. And but we will cover so many topics with these speakers and with our networking sessions where our people just get together, our participants and visit and share. But we obviously want to cover broadband. We want to cover housing, obviously economic development, entrepreneurship, or downtown revitalization, medical care, development of leadership, all of those things that you would normally expect to be covered, in these type events. But I have gone out and found the best people to come in and talk about it. As you said, with Deb, she's one of our speakers this time, but all of our speakers have street cred. They've all been there and they've done that. They know how hard it is, but they also know how to make it work. And so I think that's just going to be very inspiring for the people that attend.
Final question for you, Lori. Lori Vincent, ladies and gentlemen, with Stand Up Rural America. And it's something that you just alluded to that I think is important for us to raise up, because this is an event happening at the end of April during a pandemic. So there are concerns, I would imagine. Now, it's interesting to watch what happens in rural America relative to COVID-19 versus vaccinations versus what's happening in urban areas and vaccinations. So the question has to be asked about COVID-19 protocols as you hold this meeting. So I want you to put some people's minds at ease.
Absolutely. It is absolutely I mean, foremost on our mind as well. The event was originally scheduled for the end of July 2020, and as the months went on through the shutdown, it became apparent we would not be able to have it last summer as planned. So we moved it to the end of April, perhaps and very naively thinking that maybe we would have been further along, you know, in our recovery period by now. But in our decision making on whether to go ahead and have an in-person event at the end of April, I surveyed hundreds and hundreds of people all over the country to see how they felt about it. And I was getting pretty close to my, you know, kind of my drop dead time of absolutely when I needed to make a decision about it. And overwhelmingly, people wanted to attend this event. It's not going to be the size that it would have been prior to the pandemic. It's going to be a much smaller event, but people were ready. They're ready to get together. They were, I have a lot of people driving in that might have flown. I think that's one kind of interesting trend that we're seeing, but I definitely exceeded our threshold number of whether to have the in-person event or not. But I have worked with the hotels. We have two venues. They have just worked tirelessly to make sure that every protocol and above and beyond will be taking place. We will be wearing masks. I have secured twice the space that we had before, so everybody will be extra socially distanced. Our networking events will take place in twice the space. And I have a way that on our name tags that people will be able to put, I have three colors of a sticker they can put on their name tag. One says hugs, the green one says hugs, the yellow one says fist bump, the third one says waves. And that way people can put on their name tag, because you know that people have various levels of comfort right now. And we wanted to do that in a way where if you're walking up to somebody, you'll be able to see how they feel without anybody having to make explanations or that awkward, should I shake, should I hug, should I wait, should I, you know. So we are trying to do everything that we can to make sure that those who want to come, and we do have a large registration, people are coming, but that they feel comfort. I just want them to feel that security and safety measures have all been made for their benefit. Obviously, I'm nervous. You know, I'm nervous about bringing a group together, but I also am very inspired by everyone's enthusiasm to help their communities move forward after this very difficult period of time.
Well, we wish you the very best as you move forward on this adventure. And I want to thank you. We will have, of course, links to the website up on our radio blog. But thanks, Lori Vincent, for spending time with us and talking about this, the second Stand Up Rural America event, which will take place in April, the end of April, 27 through 29 in Charleston, West Virginia. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Once again, that's the voice of Lori Vincent, who is the founder of Accelerate by Design, and we will have a link to her business on our radio blog, as well as the link to Stand Up Rural America. It's a celebration and a learning session that's happening in Charleston, West Virginia, and they are taking reservations right now. All right, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Lori Vincent, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.